Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenda Geek on the ball from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning for December 29th, 2010, episode 43, sponsored by Back on Track. Good morning, horse people.
The very first word that I ever said, visions of galloping in my head. Mane slow and tails held high, I knew that I was born to ride. I was born to ride, like a bird was born to fly. Fish gotta swim, some gotta shine. Love me, love my horse.
Jamie, how they have, but this is why everybody, this is our year-end show. We get that special hot the guys. And then the next day we have a recorded show. So this is the last time Jamie and I are getting together here, and Jennifer, to say, you know how they have all across the country on New Year's Eve drop things, you know, like balls like that. Well, we don't have that with the Horse Radio Network. I think we should drop my ball.
I don't know. I don't know, Jen.
From like
what do you
a hayloft, you know? And, of course, we're talking about the exercise ball I sit on here, to clarify that.
Oh.
But, you know, like a hayloft somewhere.
Okay.
Something. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah. So either that, or I was thinking we could drop a mini, you know, maybe drop a mini from a hayloft. Or,
oh, that'll get us letters.
Oh, my gosh, Glenn. You are, yeah, you've had too much coffee this morning.
It's a good day in the neighborhood. We're supposed to get a freezing day, and we might hit 60 by the weekend. We are happy here in Lexington. We might see meltage of the snow for once. And things like that. Happy for the little things this time of year.
Glenn, I'm going to be honest with you, buddy. I can barely hear you. You are breaking up. Why don't you hang up and call right back, and let's get to Jennifer and find out what is going on today's show, because we have a pretty awesome one coming up today. I'm pretty excited to talk to a Guinness Book of World Record holder, Jennifer. What's going on?
Woohoo! On today's show, we start with Jerry Gilbert, owner of Big Jake, the newly crowned world's tallest horse, followed by lots of this year stories, and then the Horse Health Report will be here with some wonderful and crazy vet call stories. They're going to be fun. Don't miss that. And as has become a habit here on Horses in the Morning, we will have Horses Rescued from the Water headlines.
No way. There's more?
There's more. Every day there's more. I think there's
okay.
Some kind of a alien plot or something going on. Yeah.
How exactly do horses keep falling in pools and having to be rescued in water?
I just don't understand. Well, sometimes it's pools. Sometimes it's naturally occurring water, you know. But it's a water rescue. Absolutely. maybe we should invent some kind of a, like water wellies or something for your horse to wear during heavy rains or...
We could do just like the jackets for cross country that the second you fall off, they inflate.
Yeah.
We need to
yeah.
have those for horses. The second they hit water above their shoulders, they float.
They poof.
I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah. An inflatable halter. I mean, it keeps the important part above, you know.
That's true. That's true. Glenn, are you back?
I am back. So do I sound any better? Can you hear me now?
Oh, that sounds way better. We can totally hear you now. Sorry about that.
Okay. All right. No problem. So, yes, it took me a long time this morning. I had to really look around for that horse rescue story of the day. I had to go way down under to find that one today. It was tougher today. You know, it's not every day there's a horse rescue story, but, boy, they have been becoming more frequent. So this is kind of our year-end show, Janie. We want to review some things that have happened over the year and talk about, talk about all of the cool and not so cool horse things that happened in 2010. It's what everybody does, right, at the end of the year when you're on radio.
You've got to have a year-end wrap-up for just about every single thing that you do.
That's true. Well, not everything, but that would be bad.
I think, well, but like songs always have it. We did the movie wrap-up. We did the top 10 movies, top 10 songs. You're going to do like top 10 highlights, top 10 lowlights, whatever, you know, top 10 celebrity gossip stories, top 10 horse moments. So you have to do the year-end wrap-up. And that's exactly what we're going to read to you today.
That's right, and then I'm looking forward to it because, you know, I'm a draft horse lover, and as Jennifer said, we're going to be talking to the biggest horse in the world. He owns Guinness. Well, not really talking to the horse, are we? But Big Jake stands 6'10", 6'10", and that's actually in horse world, that's 20 and 2 3/4 inches. It's funny, you know, when you do the little ones, you measure like people do this too. When they're short, they measure the 3/4 as part and the, you know, the 1/8 and all of that. Then you get to be in the middle there, you just say I'm 6'1". But then when you get to be really tall again, then you start adding on the 3/4 and stuff. So this guy's almost 21 hands. And judging by the pictures, he's a big boy, isn't he, Big Jake?
Oh my gosh. Well, let's see. Do we have his picture up online just yet, or we're going to wait till we talk to him? Because you have got to see this horse, Big Jake. This poor little tiny girl that's holding on to him. She looks like me. It's like putting a lead rope on the top of a freight train.
That's true. That's about what it's like. And, of course, we want to remind everybody you can chat online or give us a call at 347-637-3238. Or chat online over our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. And, of course, I sent out the press release this morning because tomorrow is the big day.
Oh, my gosh. We are working so hard behind the scenes, you know, slaving over this kind of stuff, working our fingers to the bone, trying to find and collect the picture photographic evidence of the 2010 Hottest Horseman of the Year Awards. Helene and I have been hard at it. We've been working nonstop. We were on the phone. We talked like 4 or 5 times yesterday with the addition and subtraction of nominees. And, you know, is this a better picture or is this a better picture? And we're trying to kind of corral our nominees so we can, you know, maybe get them on the phone when we announce the winner.
I know you're trying to get them all on the phone tomorrow, which will be a lot of fun. Of course, it'll be you and Helena B. from the Stable Scoop Radio Show and the Tack and Habit Show hosting tomorrow. I will not be on air, but I will rather be keeping up on everything and posting the winners over on our Facebook page. So I'll be chatting with the listeners over on Facebook tomorrow, and you guys will be on the air doing your thing, and I think Jennifer's going to be hiding in a hole someplace.
What? She is going to be a part of this. I think you are wrong. You know she can't stand it, Glenn. You know she cannot stand not giving her opinion. And just because you're in the other room doesn't mean she can't just be all girly for a day.
She probably will join in. She always says she's not going to and then does. So she's pretty good at that. Well, let's start with the top 10 review things. And, of course, the Chronicle of the Horse, our friends over at the Chronicle, do one every year, and they published theirs just this morning. Matter of fact, when I looked early in the morning, it wasn't there, and then you looked later in the morning, and it was there. So this just went up. So do you want to read the thumbs up to everybody, and we'll chat about those?
Absolutely. You know, they do their thumbs up, thumbs down, and so they say it's in no particular order. So I completely agree with so many of these things. Thumbs up, obviously, to the addition of para dressage at the Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games. Yay.
Hold on 1 second, Jamie. We have a caller I think you're going to want to take. It looks like one of the nominees for Hottest Horse Husband has called in. So we're going to have to keep an eye on that. And when Jennifer gets done screening him there in the room, we'll bring you him right away. Is it the guy or the wife? Are you sure? Do you know?
I have no idea. I don't know who's on the phone, but we'll find out in just a second.
he or she is ready. Do you want to take the call?
Let's do it.
Let's do that. All right. So is this Chris?
It is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
I wanted to thank you guys because it's just been such a great thing. We love your show. And I was calling to kind of campaign and lobby a little bit for myself. I've been nominated as Hot Horse Husband. And
yeah, well,
you're competing with me. You haven't got a prayer, buddy.
Yeah. Well, see, I know that. That goes without saying. But I wanted, in fact, we might have something in common here with this guy, the picture that's become almost iconic. You know, with the,
are you the one without the shirt?
No way. No, in fact, my picture was taken exclusively for this competition.
Yes.
So, I mean, we went to the trouble to do that. I just want to point that out. No, I did not give you a picture from, like, the 1950s with Gunzel chaps and me on board. Because I'm down there. I'm a master mucker. And I'm stuffing the hay net, and I'm futzing with buckles at, you know, at 2 in the morning and doing the hardcore stuff that doesn't really look that sexy in a photograph.
All right, well, Let's do this, Jamie. Why don't we clarify who Chris is? Let's clarify.
Chris, is it Hires or Hears?
Yeah. It's Hires.
Chris Hires and your wife, what is her name?
It's Beth, and you know Beth because she's a regular listener, and she also, we have Pip and Rummy.
You're the ones with
the
Pip,
mini.
the little mini.
Yeah, which is a she, by the way. And she's wonderful, and in fact, just yesterday, interesting side note, we were outside, and our big horse, Rummy, who's a big thoroughbred, decided to take a roll and a shimmy. You know, you've seen horses do this after they've had the blanket on for a long time.
Go
out and have a roll and a shimmy. So right after that, Pip said, I think I'll have a roll and a shimmy. And she did it and got up and ran about a bit, and then Beth and I looked at each other and said, well, let's, why not? So we had a roll in the shimmy.
Wow.
This is the kind of thing that a hot horse husband does, okay?
So what do you think?
Playing it on picture.
Besides the roll in the shimmy and imitating the horses, which is awesome, what do you think separates you from all the other nominees?
Well, I think it's because I got the most special wife. And let me tell you, I'm not calling because, you know, this is my own ego, although this would look good on my portfolio, you know, in my CV, right? But I'd like to call my mama and tell her, you know. But honestly, the reason is I think it would lift the spirits of my beautiful wife enormously. And so that's kind of the main thing, reason I'm calling.
Well,
now he's pulling the lift the spirits card. You're just bringing them all out here this morning.
Yeah, and if you can wait till like May, I'll take my shirt off and we'll do a reshoot, you know.
Well,
I'm thinking,
I'm thinking
there's a rumor too that dude isn't even married to the gal who nominated him. Is that right?
You're talking about the shirtless boyfriend that's galloping around.
I don't want to see the competition be, you know, marred in controversy this early on.
Do you have a bridge available for sale?
Unbelievable. Well, listen, Chris, you are definitely in there. Your photograph and the picture of Chris, Glenn, let me remind you, is the one of Chris standing there with the mini that has the that is wearing the Santa Claus hat, and Chris is standing there with his pitchfork mucking stalls. So you do get some major points for that, and thanks for calling in and saying that you have the greatest wife ever and that you're doing this for your mama. Because, I mean, come on. What girl can resist that?
He knows you, Jamie. He knows how emotional you are. So he's got that. You did pretty well here, Chris. You had all the points lined up. He's an attorney in real life, I bet.
You guys are great, man. I appreciate you very much.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Chris.
Bye, yeah.
Oh my God.
All right, let's hang up on Chris. He's getting way too good an argument, and he's competing with me. So, you know, that's
well, Glenn,
the problem here.
Why do you think you should win?
Because I'm America's horse husband. I've designated myself that. Doesn't that automatically qualify?
You self-proclaimed yourself as the town crier over here. I am the voice of the America's horse husband.
That's correct. Somebody has to be representing out there on an everyday basis, and that's what I do. I represent. I'm out there.
Chris,
but, you know, Chris did have a couple of good arguments there, and he has a great voice. He has a good radio voice, too.
I know, and he just declared himself, you know, the hottest horse husband. So it shows you what declarations can do. So you need to prove a little bit more. You need to work a little harder is what I'm saying.
Well, before we get back to the Chronicle list, we have somebody else on the line here who talking about great radio voices. I don't know if he's declaring himself the hottest horse husband, but I can pretty much declare him having one of the best radio voices. It's Wayne Williams. Good morning, Wayne. Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you. And you all lose in this hottest contest, I'll tell you.
Why? Are you
mind.
In the running there, Wayne?
No, you're
buying for the title?
No, I'm the only one that they would yell, put the shirt back on to.
You're not the only one, I promise.
So, were the holidays good to you?
Yes, they were. And I saw on your Facebook that you got to spend some family time and that you maybe weren't traveling for a change.
Yeah, we did some family time. We had, you know, a lot of the different grandkids, both in Wisconsin and in Indianapolis involved, and we went down to Indy and did the family thing, the grandkid thing, the kid thing, and it all really worked out pretty well this year. So we, you know, even in a time when it looked like it was going to be more rugged, it actually worked out better. So it was a nice time. So.
Well, good. And I saw that, Wayne, on Facebook here, was it this morning, I think, I saw that you're running a little bit of a neat contest over on your show, too. And you can get a plug in there for that. But tell us about the contest that you're doing.
Well, what we're trying to do is salute the older horse. I, for one, have been accused many times of maintaining too old a fleet of horses. But, you know, I've ridden horses, you know, not hard, not worked them hard, but ridden in parades and various things for years. And older horses can do very well for that because you're really not overtaxing them. And you know, we have two different pastures right now, the younger set on one side, and then we have the I say generic set. They're not generic, but, you know, the older set.
The geriatric set.
See, I get accused of calling them the generic set. But anyway, the older ones on the other side, and my one mare turns 30, you know, next month. So, and, you know, even though they're not horribly sound, they're still rideable, or you could do a little bit with them. But you know, in honor of the older horse and the things they can still do, anybody with a horse past 20 that they're still using, you know, for some function and it's very doable, we want to salute that, so you can go to our website and just submit a story and a picture and do that before the 1st of May, and then we will wind up featuring the winner on a Speaking of Horses TV show.
Wow.
So it's just a little thing to salute, you know, the older horse and the people that are using them, and that, you know, even, well, where you're located there in Lexington, you know, there's more and more emphasis on second lives for racehorses, you know. And
right.
Even though a racehorse, by the time they're 8 or 9, maybe 10 at the most, you know, their career's over as far as racing. But there's still a lot of life left in the horse. And, you know, so even they are doing more and more to find second homes and jobs The worst thing in the world is to be just put out to pasture. You know, you might think you're doing them a favor, but you're really not. You know, you've got to have something for them to do to keep their mind alert, too. So that's what we want to salute is, you know, we're honoring the older horse. We want your stories and pictures of what you're doing with a horse that's at least 20 or over.
I'm going to send you one. Yeah, where can we send them?
Just go to the speakingofhorses.com website, and under special events tab, there's a sheet there that tells you what to send and where to send it. Just email the picture and the story. We're not looking for a bunch of videos. We're looking for just pictures and stories, and then we'll select from that. You know,
fantastic.
So it's just going to be a nice little deal, something to say, okay, yeah, I got an older horse, and maybe I ride parades, or maybe I do a little drill team or something, and you know, we want to see what you're doing. I know we in some of the TV show stuff of late, I work with a couple of veterinarians, and there was a horse that I was looking at about 2 or 3 weeks ago at a farm north of Dallas, Texas, a 32-year-old thoroughbred that was getting, as soon as we shot some vet shots with this, he was going in the holiday parade, the Christmas parade, with a kid riding him. So, you know, that's the kind of stories you're after.
Yeah, we drove my pony till she was about, 35, Jennifer, and she died in her 40s. So, you know, there are some that live a long time. And you hear all the time about competition horses that, you know, are competing in top-level dressage and things up to 18, 19, even 20 years old. So I think it's great what you're doing over there.
Well, that's our goal. We just want to see who's got an older horse and what they're doing with them. And we'll post things along from time to time, you know, on Speaking of Horses website so that people can kind of get a look at, you know, what's happening. But it's just going to be fun to do. And you're going to.
I know Jamie has an oldster over there, too, don't you? You have an old one over there.
If you could tell me how old he was, I'd give you a dollar because the vet said he's somewhere over 25. But you know what? He is, and I'm going to submit him because I think he needs a big salute. We rescued him from near death, and he's come along. He's put on 200 pounds, and he's packing around 7-year-olds on trails. He's so good and so sweet. So I definitely think he needs a big salute, and he's a very good boy.
Well, that's what we're trying to do is salute those guys that are still functional and still giving, you know, and still being able to be used, you know, 20 and up. So
sort of like us old talk show hosts, Wayne, sort of like us. You know, someday they're going to put us out the pasture, too.
I know they will. Just have a long mic cord when they do it, and we'll be okay.
Thank you, Wayne, and Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you guys. Take care. We'll talk to you somewhere down the line.
All right, thanks, Wayne.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, it's a neat thing he's doing. You know what? Yeah, we've always owned older horses, so, you know, I love older horses. They're great. They're quiet. You know, most of the time they're really good. It's and if you have an older horse in your life too, or you know, we would love for you to call in this morning. Just even my competition can call in to 347-637-3238. Tell us what you're thankful for this year. Was there a new highlight in your life this year? Was there something different that happened this year that you got married to a horse guy or a non-horse guy? You got a new horse. There was just an equestrian highlights are what we're looking for in this show. So if you have one of those, give us a call at 347-637-3238. And, of course, Jennifer and I have one. We got Beaker this year. So we added a horse into our life this year after being horseless for a couple of years, first time that we were horseless that long a period of time. And now we have Beaker back in our lives. So that was one of our highlights. And I know you had many this year that we've talked about. But let's get back to the Chronicle here and talk about that. Sorry I interrupted you. I just saw those calls come in and thought we should take them.
Absolutely. No, you know, what else happened this year that's really, really cool is the air vests were invented, making cross-country even safer. And I do like this, though. The Chronicle says, you know, if you come off the horse, this vest inflates in like 0.2 seconds. That's why they're called the 0.2 air vest. And they say that to the air vest, thumbs up, making cross country even safer, and the finish line occasionally more amusing. Apparently,
yes, it does too. I've seen that happen in person.
Horse.
They just pop off, and the little thing goes off, and the air vest inflates, and they all laugh, and the horse goes, ah!
I thought that was funny. Let's see. Thumbs up to the junior hunter Caritano and his rider Hannah Goodson Cut for showing us how the West was won by traveling from California to make a tricolor sweep from the fall indoor shows. Thumbs up to the U.S. Eventing Association's continuing research into the cardiovascular effects of competition on horses. Congratulations to the managers of Devon for refurbishing footing in their rings. This is big and small. To the vaulting and reining teams for accessorizing their unique outfits with more bling. When are Avengers going to get into the bling? I have no idea, but soon enough. Thumbs up to the riders, and I really like this one. Thumbs up to the riders who laid down their top hats in favor of helmets in the dressage ring. Also to Galway Downs organizer Robert Kellerhouse for bringing the three-star to the West Coast. And I don't know if you saw this too, but during that, his first three-star that he sanctioned, which we talked to Jessica Phoenix about, he actually did a blindfolded golf cart race. So they're saying thumbs up to that one too.
Very funny.
And just a couple more real quick, to Stefan Peters and Ravel for earning the first U.S. individual medals in a world championship or Olympic dressage since 1932. And also to steeplechase trainer John Shepard, he passed the milestone of 1,000 wins. So there's a couple more in there that I skipped over, but you can go to chronophorse.com. And Glenn, what were some of the thumbs down?
Thumbs down this year, according to the Chronicle of the Horse for 2010, is the failure of the U.S. show jumping team to qualify for the 2012 London Olympic Games. Yep, they did drop the ball on that one, that's for sure. The move of the Chronicle of the Horse to an indoor venue. Apparently that got a thumbs down, and I'm not sure. We'll have to ask Lisa about why that's a problem. The owner-rider relationships that crumbled in the spotlight of the success of the horses caught in the middle, of course, Totalist and Gal, and there were a couple of others, as
Henny.
We know, that we've covered here, Henny, on the show. So there are a couple of relationships that got broken up there. To the volcano that interrupted air travel and disrupted competition plans for Rolex Kentucky and the World Cup final and badminton. I mean, that volcano messed things up for a long time with air travel and caused some interesting things that happened around Rolex time.
I think didn't Oliver Townsend have to take like a taxi cab from like London to Spain or something?
That's
crazy.
Right. And then he flew. It took him like 25 hours to get here to Lexington for Rolex, but he made it just in time because of his he spent a lot of money in that taxi cab, too. The unfair disqualification of Sapphire from the Rolex FEI show jumping World Cup final in Geneva, Switzerland. We talked about that, too, I believe. And to the mysterious vandalism of the driving carriage. I forgot about this at the World Equestrian Games.
I never heard about that.
Yeah, there was some vandalism that went on the one night of one of the carriages. It was actually the leader at that point after dressage, and they trashed his carriage pretty bad. And it was in the locked area. At the World Equestrian Games, and there were more police and FBI and everything else at that World Equestrian Games, more security than you can imagine. So that was a big controversy about what happened with that, and they never did figure out who did it. And then to Jane Atkinson, departure from Equestrian Events. She has been the organizer of the Rolex Kentucky 4-star forever. Janie was a fixture at that event. You know, we've had her on our shows numerous times. And she's going to be missed. This would be the first year without her. And basically what they've done at this point is divide her duties up and given it to several people. So, but I'm sure we'll see Janie around. She's going to be there. You know, there's no way she won't be there. And she's such a presence at these events. And she ran it well. I mean, Rolex is, you've been there every year. It's a well-run event.
It's amazing. It's phenomenal. So, yeah, she will definitely be missed. But hopefully they'll keep things running smooth this next year.
And, that's the Chronicle's high and low lights of the year. We have gone over our personal ones several times here on the show, so I don't think we need to go back over those. Now, there was, I think from like the Associated Press or had, the 10 best horse videos on YouTube of the year. And some of them were, one of them is going to sound familiar, the world's tallest living horse. And, of course, that's, we're going to talk to them this morning. So there's a video of that, and we'll talk to them this morning. There's a couple funny horse ones on there, a couple pretty horse ones on there, and these are all ones that have gotten millions of hits. And, of course, Patches, the one that rides in the back of the convertible, the horse that goes to the, you know, drive-thru in the back of the convertible was on there. So these are all videos that were picked as the 10 best horse videos, I think, by the number of hits on them and the number of views. And they really did have millions. We'll be sure to post that in our show notes as well and post that over on Facebook. And I caught you watching them this morning, checking them out.
I did. And you know what I noticed is that the Associated Contents website is actually incorrect. It's outdated because it says that this Radar is the world's tallest living horse, and we are going to have Jake and his owners on the phone.
That's right.
And they're actually saying that they're the biggest ones, and they're in the Guinness Book of World Records. So we're going to have to get this situated. There's so many so many tall Belgians in the world.
Well, let's get to Jerry and talk about the world's tallest horse right after this commercial that Jamie's going to do.
I absolutely am. Let's see. Back on Track is going to sponsor this half hour in the show. Back on Track is a great company run by one of the nicest guys in the world. Back on Track, you know them for their quality products that benefit your horse. Top riders from many disciplines use Back on Track's products to warm up their horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injuries. More importantly, they use products' dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries. That is what makes Back on Track's products so unique. Back on Track's products' genuine aim is to contribute to your horse's well-being and good health in the easiest, most comfortable, and pleasant way. Learn more about Back on Track products at backontrackproducts.com.
And now up with us is Jerry Gilbert of Smoky Hollow Farm, and he is the owner of Big Jake, who is the world's tallest living horse by the Guinness World Records. He stands 6 feet 10, or in our language, almost 21 hands, and he actually is a working horse. So let's talk to Jerry and find out about Big Jake. Hi, Jerry, and welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So I first must say that I've been the owner of draft horses for a long time. I love driving. That's my thing. And when I saw that Big Jake had gotten the Guinness World Record, I had to talk to you. The largest I've ever owned was a Percheron that was 18.2. I can't imagine adding two hands to that. This is one big horse.
Yeah, Jake is very impressive. He is a big horse. He's a horse you must have to see. He's incredible the size that he is.
Now you said you got Big Jake when he was young, right? Right after he was weaned.
We purchased him after he was weaned from his mother.
And he was a big baby coming out, wasn't he?
Yeah, he weighed about 240 pounds, and he was bigger than the rest of the foals.
All the women in the audience just went,
oh, God, that hurts.
The mother is just fine.
Okay, glad to hear that. So Big Jake, now you got him. Did you have any idea? You knew he was going to be a big horse, but did you have any idea how big?
No, we actually we had no idea that he was going to be that big. He was purchased for his confirmation, and we do like larger horses. That is something that we do look for.
I've seen pictures on your website at the Smoky Hollow Farm. By the way, you can find that at smokyhollowfarm.com of your hitches. And now you also travel around and compete with your Belgians, don't you?
Yes, we compete at the state fairs and out of state. There's a world show that's coming up in 2012. It's Belgian Draft Horse Corporation, and we'll look gearing up for that.
Well, let's take a look at your Belgians now. How many Belgians do you have, first of all?
We have about 20 on the farm here. We do have some retirees that have been around and showed. We use those as anchor horses to break the younger ones when we're driving them. But most of them are about 20 on the farm that are foals that are coming up 2 and 3 year olds. And we
wow.
have Jake as well.
That is
that's a lot of hay,
Jerry.
Yeah.
that's a lot of hay. You're right.
So now, do you do 2 and 4 four horse hitches in competitions, or what are you? What's your specialty?
We go up to the 6 horse hitch. We do. My daughter, that's 14. She drives the team in the junior team, and I drive the men's team and in the 4. And we also do up to the 6 horse hitch. That's what most shows go up to, the 2, the 4, and the 6 in a single cart class.
Wow, and your daughter's 14 and she drives the pair?
She actually drove the world's tallest pair at the state fair this year, and she won a national award this year, so I'm very proud of her.
What's she need, like an extension ladder to reach the top of the horse?
Yeah, pretty much, or a good running start.
So tell me, you said, okay, so your average, I would have guessed that knowing Belgians, your average is probably 17 to 18 hands. Is that right?
Actually, our average here on the farm is 18.2. We actually have another horse that's over 20 hands as well, which makes the world's tallest team of horses. But Guinness doesn't have a record out there for us for the world's tallest team. So we believe we have the second world's tallest horse as well. It's just unusual that we have horses that big, but the average is probably about 18.2.
What is your reaction? Go ahead, Jamie. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm just curious because I am not that familiar with draft horses, but they say that the bigger they are, the more gentle they are. How are these guys? I mean, you have to break and train these guys, and I have a pony that challenges me. How hard is it to start one and get them quiet and nice and drivable when they're 20 hands tall?
Consistency is the most important thing, is having the same routine every day. And the anchor horse, one that's, well broke, that's important as well. And just that consistency of everything. But they all have their own characters. They're just like children. They misbehave sometimes, and you just got to be patient with them and keep the repetition over and over and over again. And then eventually they just, they're highly intelligent horses to begin with, so they catch on eventually.
Are they sweet?
Sweet.
They must be.
They are sweet in their own way. There's not mean streaks in them or anything like that. Particularly Jake, he is a very gentle horse, but when he gets that taste of freedom, he's like a thoroughbred. He wants to go. So he.
I gotta tell you, Jamie, when we had the big farm, and Jerry's going to appreciate this, when you hear coming from across a large field, when you hear a couple of draft horses. And they're at a full gallop out in the field. You can feel the ground move, and you can certainly hear it. Isn't that the coolest thing, Jerry?
It is. It's exciting, actually.
It is, because
wow.
Your heart's thumping, and you can feel the ground moving. It's just incredible. And the other thing, Jerry, is, when an average thoroughbred steps on your foot by accident, it's okay. You can get away with that. It hurts for a little while. You do not want these guys stepping on your foot by accident.
No, you don't want that to happen. It's always in the back of your mind. I have a problem with my daughter. She likes to wear sandals around the horses.
Oh!
Is she the one in the picture? Is that your daughter that's in the picture that's on your website with Big Jake, the tallest living horse?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And we'll post that. If you don't mind, we'll use that as our show notes picture so we can show everybody the comparison. But there is quite a comparison there. So now, Big Jake, now he is also one of your competition horses?
He is a competition horse. We actually decided to retire him this year. I guess the fame kind of got to his head, and he turned into a ham as far as people wanting to pet him. And he's soaking all of that up now, but he's going to be turning 10 at the first of the year here, so we decided to retire him and bring a younger one up and to take his position.
Now, I heard, though, that you do some neat stuff with Big Jake as far as charity is concerned.
We do. Big Jake picked Ronald McDonald House to raise money for. And him and Ronald actually have a good connection there. They did photo shoots this past summer, and they have a close bond, I'd say.
Him and Big Jake and Ronald McDonald?
Ronald McDonald and Big Jake, definitely.
Well, I have to tell you that growing up, my mother and I did a lot of volunteering at Ronald McDonald House. And for those who don't know what it is and how important it is, maybe explain a little bit why Jake is so passionate about it.
Well, I think one of the things is I think Ronald puts apple dippers in his pocket, and I think that's how he's getting Jake to be his best friend there. But it's unbelievable how many families that we know that have come to us and have said that they had used that facility, and we did not know. So it's nice that we're helping people that we don't know and people that we do know. And when we display Jake at the state fair, we get so many people that actually come up to us and appreciate what we're doing and the fact that they've used the facility. And it's very heartwarming, actually.
Yeah, which, of course, in Atlanta we had one. And basically when the cancer patients, the children, have to have extended stays, the Ronald McDonald House opened its doors and lets the family stay there so they can be close by. So it is a very, very cool organization, and I'm so glad you guys are helping it. Now, what we've heard from some other Guinness Book of World Record holders is that the process to get Guinness to accept your horse or whatever you're doing, applying for, is really difficult. Did you find that as well?
It's a lot of coordination. I don't know if it was difficult. I guess with the type of hitching or having the draft horse hitch, it takes a lot of coordination and a lot of time. So I guess it was kind of second nature to us to try to get all these people together and the photo shoot and all the professionals and the documentation. I suppose that it could be for some people, but I guess if one person doesn't show up, it could throw it for a back loop there. But it worked out fine for us. We heard back from Guinness immediately, so we were very excited about that. And we weren't sure if he was going to make it in the 2011 book. And I went to the bookstore when it came out and let out a big yippee in the bookstore, and people looked at me like I was crazy.
Oh, that's great. You're like, that's my
cool
horse. There it is. Big Jake, what is in there?
So now, let me ask you, and we're all horse people here, and it's all horse people that listen to this show. So, I got to ask you some practical questions. First of all, what size bit?
What size bit? It's I think he has a hackamore bit. We change bits frequently here. It's what's comfortable for the horse. It's not really a standard. A lot of times we modify them, what's best fitting for the horse.
But it has to be, what, a 6.5 or a 7?
You know, I'm not really sure.
Because I know we were using 6s and 6.5s on our draft horses, so it must be. And, that to give somebody an idea, we have a mini bit here at the house that's 3.5, so... That's a big mouth. And then, do you know what size shoes they wear? You have to have them custom made, I'm sure.
Jake has relatively a smaller foot than most of the drafts that we have, but I believe that he has a 9.5 is what he wears. Still a very large shoe.
That's just funny. And then the harness, I assume you have the harness made. Give a plug for where all your harness comes from.
It comes from different makers. They're custom made. Jake does wear a 32-inch collar, which is a very large collar for a draft horse. He's not a pulling horse, but for a hitch horse, that's a very large collar.
Wow, that's incredible. And I assume there's just no blanket in the world that would fit Jake.
Everything is generally custom made for us. We get them from different blanket makers, but generally we have to modify or have them special ordered.
That's incredible.
He's like the Shaquille O'Neal of horses.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
I said he's like the Shaquille O'Neal of horses. Everything has to be specially made and specially done. That's awesome.
Yeah, he is.
His sneakers are a little bigger than everybody else's. And how cool is it that your daughter gets to grow up with all of these amazing horses and gets to do the things that she's doing and probably will one day become a champion driver on her own? And I'm just jealous. I want to say that because, you know, I love driving. And driving an incredible hitch of really the world's tallest two horses would just be amazing. And, the reaction you must get from audiences must be incredible.
I do. I get a lot of people that come up to me and say that I'm very proud of my daughter, and I am. She's very special, and she takes the bull by the horns and very impressive.
Well, congratulations to you both. Congratulations to Big Jay. Give him an extra carrot for us today. We'd appreciate, or a whole bag. What the heck? He won't notice. Say hi to him for us today. You have a great new year, and good luck in the new competition season coming up.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Bye, Jerry.
Bye now.
Well, that was Jerry Gilbert, who is the owner of Big Jake, the world's tallest horse, judged by the Guinness World Book of Records. And we appreciate him joining us here today on the show. Oh, how cool would that be?
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't even imagine leading one of those suckers. I'd be so scared they're going to step on my foot.
You would look tiny compared to those horses, let me tell you. You would look tiny, gosh. That's for sure. Well, we're going to take a break here for our daily musical interlude. Today I wanted to do something a little different, seeing it's sort of our year-end show. Last time I am going to record on Horses in the Morning this year, and I only have one more show to do this year with Helena tomorrow, the Stable Scoop Show, and that'll be my last show of 2010. Hard to believe it's over already. But we have a song that I wanted to play for Marianne Kennedy. And, you know, it is a time of year when we remember the people and the pets that we have lost in the past year. We lost our dog Bam Bam this year, and I'm sure that all the listeners have somebody close to them that they have lost or a pet that they have lost this year, a horse or a dog or a cat. And this song from Marianne Kennedy is in honor of all the animals that we have lost and the people in our lives. So this is Marianne Kennedy. The song is called Goodbye.
My first love was a red Irish setter. I was 7 then, and she was my best friend. And the memories we made couldn't have been better. She taught me about love, a little about life, and then she taught me how to say goodbye. Was a deep red sorrow. She had the softest eyes, and together we would glide through fields and down trails. I was always taken care of. She taught me about love, a lot about my life, and then she taught me how to say me about love, a lot about my life. And then he taught me how to say goodbye. I'm thankful for the laughter and the tears I've cried, and I have been blessed with so many dear companions. They taught me about love and how to live my life. And they'll be waiting for me when it's my time to say goodbye.
That's Marianne Kennedy, and that's goodbye. And Glenn, how could you possibly do that to us? You're talking about Big Jake and how funny it is, and he's this huge horse, and you're like, hey, by the way, I'm going to play the song for, like, I lost my dog, and here you go. You can't do that to women. What were you
thinking? Did I warn you that you should have your tissue? Did I forget the tissue part, the warning there? I forgot that.
You have to tell women, mascara alert. You have to let us know if we should take off our headphones for a while, turn down the radio. Good God, you can't play that on the last day of the year. My gosh, I am a wreck. By the way, this is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, vaccines, worming, farrier, dentist visit together and easily accessible. You can also track their weight, get reminder of important events coming up, such as horse shows, such as different, you know, it's time to vaccinate again, your farrier's coming out. Just go to pocketstable.com to visit them. And I do apologize to all the women right now who are just a wreck because of that song. Oh my gosh. I had to take my headphones off. I would have lost it. You can't talk about an animal, losing an animal, and then just throw
it's
that
a beautiful
song on.
Song. It is a beautiful song. You have to admit, it's a pretty song. It is a pretty song. But I just thought it was appropriate this time of year. I'll warn you next time. I'll give a tissue alert next time. And we're going to, of course, we're going to have a little bit more fun here coming up as we bring on the weekly horse health report with thehorse.com. We're going to be doing that shortly, and they're going to be talking about some funny vet stuff. So I think that they'll take the mood right back. Right back into the laughter section of the show. And also, I found, with a lot of hard work this morning, the latest horse rescue story. Seems like we're coming up with one every day. And it was a rescue. This newspaper was so desperate for news out of Brisbane, Australia, that they were reporting it as a rescue is underway. So I don't know if they were at a time thing where the newspaper had to come out or what. It wasn't even the rescue had been done yet. It was said a rescue is underway for a horse trapped in a flooded stable south of Brisbane. So there, that horse didn't get out, at least. It didn't get through the fence. This one was in the stable, and there was flooding and everything. I won't read the whole thing to you. But the horse's head was still above water. They were trying to get into the stall. I don't know why that was so much of a problem. But it looked like the water was receding, and they were about to get the horse out. And then I guess they had to go to print or something because the story ended. So I'm assuming it had a happy ending as the water was receding when they published this story. So that was the latest out of Brisbane, a rescue. At least it wasn't a pool, you know, like the rest of them this week.
You know, it's funny. You say that the newspaper was was struggling for news to report. I think you were too, because you reported this story too. A rescue is underway.
Yeah, but we kind of got this thing going on now about these horse rescue stories, and it's the only one in the world I could find today, so that's the one we got. I'm sure by Monday I'm going to have a bunch more horse rescue stories for everybody. And, you know, I don't know why I find those so fascinating. I guess because they're just such a chuckle with how these horses get out and stupid things they do when they're out, you know? It's just kind of a chuckle. And it all started with what's-his-name there, lassoing the reindeer. Our cowboy friend, California.
Reindeer Bob or whatever, who saved
Reindeer
Christmas.
Bob. All right. It is time for our weekly horse health report with thehorse.com. We, as usual, have Christy on with us and also Dr. Jones. Hi, Christy. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing great. And Dr. Jones, are you with us?
Yes. Good morning. And I hope everybody had a good Christmas.
Yes, we did, and we're looking forward to a terrific new year coming up, and we're looking forward to some warmer weather here in Kentucky, so we're happy about that. But, Christy, you have something fun planned for us today, I hope, because apparently I just depressed the whole female side of the audience with that song I played. So, your turn.
Well, we're hoping to turn that around into laughter, because what we're doing today is crazy farm call stories. And we asked our readers on Facebook, and we asked people that read our newsletters as well to send us some of their crazy farm call stories. And actually, a number of what we got was not from veterinarians, but was from their vet techs. And don't worry, I'm not tattling on any names.
No, because I have been a vet. Christy, I've been a vet tech a long time, and we will sell out the vet in 2 seconds every single time.
Okay, wait a minute. It's a new year. I might have to reorganize that contract with my vet techs here.
It has to be a non-disclosure agreement in there somewhere, huh?
You might have to. Because when we were vet techs, like, we would, I mean, half the time, the most important thing to a vet, in my opinion, was a good handler, you know, and a good horse handler. Guys have to get up underneath there and do amazingly ridiculous stuff I would never do. So you always have to have a really good vet tech to handle the horse. And it's always when the owner steps in is when the vet gets hurt. Here, no, let me hold Snooki. It's my little baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So what do you guys got?
So suddenly Snooki claims another name, huh? Well, actually, I was hoping to start, Jamie, to ask you what your craziest farm call story was from your time as a vet tech.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I think the yin and yang of that question, it's first crazy. I mean, people, so many horse people are crazy. God love them. I love them all. But you would go to a call where the person would say, oh, my gosh, my horse, it's just not right, and there's something wrong with it, and I want you to do every test, and I want you to do everything. And then you look at the horse, and it's absolutely fine. Oh, his eye is messed up, and there's, like, a little bit of a, you know, goober in the eye, and they're like, I don't know what to do. And so you kind of have to treat the owner a little bit on those. And then there's a call that, you know, they finally call you out, and it's like, yeah, something's not right with him, and he's like on the ground rolling. How long has he been doing that? 4 or 5 days. You know, like, you should have called a very long time ago. So the opposing ends of farm calls, as far as there's nothing wrong and oh my gosh, this is a severe emergency, you know, if there could only be just like a middle somewhere.
We've got a little bit of everything today, I think.
Yes, so we do.
We do have absolutely both ends of that spectrum as well.
Nice.
So our first story comes from Judy, who says, Judy's actually not a vet, but people often call her when they're too embarrassed or broke to call a vet. She doesn't usually do anything, usually just tells her what she knows, and if there's anything due to confirm to call a vet. So anyway, this story starts out, a friend of mine called because she thought her horse had an infection in his sheath. I'd had a pony that had a problem with that for several years and ended with surgery. I'd bought him after he'd gotten adhesions, couldn't let down to urinate, and gradually it got worse. People around here don't tend to clean their horses, mostly because they don't keep them very long or don't have very older horses. So anyway, the friend called and said she had talked to her vet about what she was observing. He said he probably needed to be cleaned. She'd gotten into horses later in life and had never heard of such a thing. She was too embarrassed to ask him how to do it over the phone and didn't want to take him to the vet just for that. Therefore, Judy got the call. I asked her exactly what she was seeing. She said it kept getting black, gunky, smudgy stuff on his hind legs and around his genital area. She said she'd wash it off, and by the next day it was back. She said otherwise he acted fine. I explained what she needed to do to clean it, and it totally blew her mind, and she asked if I would show her one time so she'd know what to do. Also, Glenn, you should appreciate this one. Her husband just laughed and said, "No way."
Yeah, that's my answer.
I finally said I'd run out to take a look and bring what was needed to do the job. After arriving at the house and explaining again what was needed to be done, we walked out to the horse. He was way overweight, mostly white paint gelding. However, after looking to see if he was irritated or swollen or in any distress, and he didn't appear to be, she asked what kind of fly spray she was using. She said, "Oh my, could that be hurting him? I really put a lot on him because he really hates flies." I said, "I didn't think so," but when she told me what she used, I said, "Give me that white washcloth over there," and proceeded to wipe the oil-based fly spray off his hind legs, which was covered in black dirt. So all it was just a lot of fly spray and a lot of dirt. The other horses were dark colored and hadn't shown up.
Are you kidding me? She was going to call the vet out for dirty oil-based fly spray. See, that's one of the, oh my gosh, you probably shouldn't call a vet.
Well, it's good that it was absolutely nothing.
I want to say, as part of the qualification for the Hottest Horse Husband Awards, we should have asked if they're willing to clean a sheath, because that is something that would disqualify me right there on the spot. Ain't no way that's happening with this horse husband. It's just not happening.
You're absolutely right. I think that would put somebody at the top of the list.
Yeah, it well, certainly would. Dr. Jones, the vet that I worked for a long time ago, if the vet asked, if the owner said, "Will you clean the sheath for me?" he would do it, but then he'd turn to me as the tech and go, "I cannot believe that I spent $100,000 on vet school and I'm cleaning a penis."
That's why I teach all my technicians how to do it. When we do a sheath cleaning, I chat with the clients and the technicians do the sheath cleaning.
Is that nice the rookie job that they get the sheath cleaning if you're a rookie technician?
Or an intern, or a student visiting, yeah.
Nice.
That's another part of Erin's arrangements with her vet techs, you know, not including the non-disclosure agreement that's coming up.
But they try to outdo each other about who can get the biggest bean. So, yes, they try to make some sort of game out of it.
You don't, like, keep them around and measure, do you?
They have brought them back in Ziploc bags, yes.
Oh, no.
Way off the subject. Well, I'm gonna throw in not a crazy farm call, but a crazy farm call in. How's this? We got a phone call. My mother-in-law at the time was doing my reception work, knew nothing about horses, was an animal lover. And I walked by. And I heard her talking to the client on the phone. I walked by the phone, and I heard her talking to the client. And she said something about, she wanted Dr. Jones out to do some sedation on the horse. Yes, I do. Oh, because you need to get the halter on. I stopped her. I'm cutting my throat in front of her. Put her on hold. I said, she doesn't have the halter on? And she says, no. She wants you to sedate the horse so she can get the halter on the horse. I said, how do you expect me to get anywhere near it with a needle?
Right?
Don't you have a blowgun?
No. I'm a princess veterinarian. We don't carry dart guns.
I said you should always be able to have a blow dart sedation thing in your truck, just for those kind of horses and maybe sometimes for those kind of owners.
I'm thinking more for the owners, yeah.
Make sure they're
careful. Are there vets? I always wondered, are there vets that carry blowguns for that purpose or dart guns?
There's one in my backyard that does have a tranquilizer gun, and he has lassoed horses in stalls. And, you know, by all means, you're a cowboy, have at it. I've done my craziness when I was younger. I'm a little bit older now. Things break easier, and I'm doing princess work now, if you want to call it that.
With my luck and as good a shot as I am, I'd shoot him. I'd completely miss any muscle and hit him right in the eyeball. That's what would happen with me. The horse would turn, I'd hit him in the eyeball.
Or the barn spectator standing behind the horse.
Yes. Charlie's out.
That would be good, too. Well, our next story actually comes from Canada. This is from Lean, who says, just a short, sweet story. We had the vet over to vaccinate all the horses in the barn. Things were going very well. The first three horses had no problems. And then the vet asked, who's next? The groom says, which one? The vet asks again, who's next? The groom says, which one? After three times, the vet was getting a little bit upset until the groom explained that the horse's name was which one. We had a big year, and I guess we ran out of names.
That was good.
It's a nice abacus seller routine.
That's like the who's on first. That is hysterical.
Yeah. Exactly. And just as a side note, the story was translated from French, and so the horse's name was Laquelle, which sounds, of course, much more interesting in English than which one. But she said then he was sold to the state, so she poses he is now literally called which one.
Oh, I love it. Now, Dr. Jones, do you find that the horses with the names like Sweetie Pie and Sugar Plum and Baby Doll, and then you've got horses that are named Demon and
Diablo and Rocket. Yeah.
And then with the ones that are named Sweetie Pie and Honey Muffin, they're the worst ones to handle.
Sometimes, but I have seen some of the Diablos and the Rockets to be bad as well.
Oh, really?
In fact, a client just changed her horse, whose name is Rocket, to Levi recently. I just saw her a little bit before Christmas for vaccinations, and she said, yeah, the training her said, do you really want your horse called Rocket? And he is extremely needle shy. We have done leaps and bounds in the past 3 or 4 years for gaining trust in him to let us come up and vaccinate him, but he's still skittish. But I thought it was a good idea to change his name from Rocket to Levi. It might help in his mentation of taking shots.
Yeah, a nice middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
At least not terrify new handlers as much, right? Right, so our next story is from Scarlett in Tennessee, who says she still laughs about this one with the ladies in question at the barn when she sees them. Happened about 6 to 7 years ago. They were at a boarding stable examining a somewhat high-strung thoroughbred. Any of us are familiar with those. We had finished the exam and were standing by the truck a few yards from the barn, shooting the breeze with the horse's owner and the stable owner, when she noticed horses in the back pasture running hell-bent for leather from the woods, and naturally the client's horse starts fidgeting around. Then he just goes completely still, locked in place. She looks over past the horse's head to see over the horse's head running in the pasture a rather large set of horns, and getting larger by the second. By then, the others noticed her face in confusion and turned to see what was up, and coming at us at a very fast pace was a large Corriente bull along with 4 to 5 other bulls. Now, this guy was very unhappy about something and had a very large set of horns, and then all hell broke loose. The horses in the pasture took off for the hills. The horse we'd been looking at decided to go with them, spun his owner to the ground, and jumped the gate into the pasture. I stepped behind a tree. Dr. Smith ran for his truck. The horse owner and the stable owner took off to the barn, screaming at the top of their lungs, slamming the door behind them because the bull and his cohorts had gone after them. The bull actually had butted the doors a few times, causing them to scream a whole lot louder. She thought she was enjoying it. And she heard the stable owner saying, where the heck did that bull come from? And she yelling, shoe bull, shoe bull. And then the horse owner retorts, how do you know it's a bull? To which the stable owner replies, well, did you not see the size of the bull, motherfucker? The bull and his followers decided they had had their fun, trotted down the driveway and then down the road. We found out later they belonged to a guy who leased a pasture, and he just turned them out, and they evidently took off and just never stopped.
That
I'll find some fun visuals from that one.
I think I'd have to take the rest of the day off. Yeah.
Yeah.
And start drinking.
Yeah, definitely.
I think you're tranquilizing.
And then tell the story.
That's a very good situation for your tranquilizer gun.
Yes, I have one.
So now, you, Dr. Jones, you practice in Florida. Do you have any good stories of horses mixing it up with alligators or anything like that?
No, we have them getting stuck in the muck. Seriously. We've had two of them in my 15 years of practice here. The first one we used to come along, attached to a very large tree, to pull this large Tennessee Walker out of the muck. He went out to feed in the morning, called the horses up, all came up but his big boy that he just loved dearly. This is a firefighter. And calls me up, and he is stuck to his chest in muck in the swamp.
Oh, no.
Why he even got in there, who knows? So I'm like, you're serious. I got to get in the muck to get this one out. Second time it happened was the day that my son was born. I, thank God, was in the hospital suffering from recovering from a C-section. And my associate and vet assistant had to go out and pull a horse out of the muck. And, again, my vet assistant was like, you mean I have to get into that stuff? It was a wild day for them for their first day without, you know, having me around on call to fulfill everything, and there was no way I was coming out of the hospital to help him with that issue. But, yeah, stuck in the muck to the chest. And those horses, you'll have to keep in mind, have been struggling probably all night or most of the day, depending on what time you find them. They'll be just like a tied-up horse. Their muscles are weak. They're tied up. They've got the myoglobin is being released, so it's affecting the kidneys, so you have to put them on fluids and lavage them out. So it's not just getting them out of the muck, but it's also everything else that occurred while they were in there.
Now, I want to point out something, that this must be a dirty job, because I have never heard a woman ever say, "Thank God I was in the hospital recovering from a C-section."
I was.
I thought the same thing.
I was, because that is just now. I've already done one in my life. I figured, okay, it's time for you to do one. But you get stuck in there, too. I mean, it's dangerous as well, but it's also nasty.
Oh, yeah. Gross, gross, gross.
Well, I think we probably have time for, what, maybe one more story?
Yeah, I think one more, yep.
About Angela in California. This one's a little bit shorter. New Holstein at the barn where I boarded was over an hour out on trail and decided to walk her horse into a pond, not realizing it was full of beer bottles and cans. Her horse cut his leg very badly, and to her good luck, another owner happened by just then, had a cell phone with her, and called the stable. The owner answered the phone, and the stable owner just returned from somewhere, and not only was the truck warmed up, the trailer was hitched to it. So they called the vet out, and the vet happened to be nearby on the call, and it was not far, that place in the woods where she had walked the horse into the pond was not far from the road. They were able to get to the horse quickly via road, load it, bring it to the barn, and since the vet was nearby, he arrived at about the same time. They immediately were able to do surgery on him in the yard and save his life, and if any part of that had not been in place, they might have lost the horse, as he lost a good deal of blood. And my thought on that story is, number one, probably a good idea not to walk horses into things that you can't see. Number two, really good first aid kit. I think Erin probably has some comments on the first aid kit.
Oh, yeah, fanny pack. It's so easy just to strap one on your waist while you're riding. You don't have to have, even if you're riding English, you don't have to have a big saddle pad or saddle bags to get the job done. You just put it in a fanny pack. Now, granted, you can't put leg wraps and such in there, but you can put something close to it, maybe one roll or two roll, and then use towels. Towels would be great for the quilts or the pressure bandage that you need. So fanny pack with meds and some sort of sterile waters or whatever, it's so helpful when you're on the trail.
Very good. Glenn, Jamie, have either of you guys had any emergencies on the trail anywhere near that?
Gosh, as far as emergencies on the trail, no, but I've had them in the trailer when I'm riding, driving the horses home. So it's never fun to unload on the side of the freeway, but you know, that kind of stuff happens. And again, emergency, you know, kits in your truck and trailer are just as important as on the trail.
Yeah, I had the stuck in the muck one time. Rode a horse across what I thought was a big mud puddle, which was,
oh,
in
no.
fact, the drainage pond for a ski resort. So the entire mountain was
worked. Oh, yeah.
So we stepped into that, and the horse promptly sank right up to his withers in it.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, and the horse got out because my dog went riding with me, and it was a German Shepherd, and he loved nothing more than to snap at the horses. So he just went nuts snapping at that horse till he finally got his way out of it. But had the dog not been along, I probably would not have saved the horse, because that was a good 2 hours ride from anything. We were really in the middle of nowhere. So that was a lesson learned. Like you said, do not ride into something you don't know what. I mean, it looked like a, you know, big deal. It's a pile of mush. We rode in the mush in the mountains all the time. But after that one, not so much.
Can't say I blame you there. Oof.
Yeah, that was a harrowing experience. And then we had to ride 2 hours home.
Right.
Didn't tell my mom about that.
Did you end up in the muck as well?
I was pretty muddy. You know, the dog did more of the work than I did, because what I was doing was ineffective. He wasn't, you know, he was just a big quiet horse. Nothing bothered him. But the dog snapping at his ears and, you know, that kind of thing had an effect on him, and he got himself out of it. But it was a very long ride home. And I don't think I told my folks about that on my fancy expensive event horse that I tried to sink him in the mud. I don't think I told them that one. Sorry, Mom.
Isn't it amazing what the dog did, though?
Yeah, you know, I don't think the dog had any. He did not have honorable motivation, though. He was just having a great time irritating the devil out of that horse.
Okay.
I don't think for a minute he was trying to save him.
He said, ha-ha, you can't
well,
me.
Yes, exactly.
Well, my two cents to the horse owners, to the horse owners out there listening is to ask their veterinarians in this winter season when there's nothing to do up north but be safe inside with hot chocolate, is to have them do a bandaging seminar and it be hands-on. You can get an easy-going horse inside of a enclosed arena or a couple of them, and it, they can even sedate them if they have to, and teach their clients how to bandage legs.
That's a good idea.
And yeah, we've done it a couple times, and it's a fantastic seminar to put on. We do a little instruction beforehand and talk about wounds and care, and then we have them all bandage legs. And it we did it with a feed store, because the feed store loved it, and then people are going and buying the items there, so that works out well. But we even use the legs that they have that come with some of the promos of leg wraps and such, and we use those little plastic legs to wrap on them too.
Tourniquet sounds like such a simple thing until you try to do one the first time.
Yeah.
I mean...
Especially if you try to do it over the hock.
Yeah, well, and if it's a tourniquet, hello, it's saving the life of something. So knowing how to do it and having actually practiced it, at least on a fake leg, would probably be a really useful thing to do. That's a great idea.
It is. And these had hocks, and they were front and back limbs that were plastic, and we had hocks we could go over and show them how to do a figure eight through the hocks and such. So it was really helpful. And they've requested to do it again. I should probably consider trying to get it done here the next month, since we're in our 30 and 40 and 50 degree weather here for us, which is horrible.
That's unbelievable. It's like that here. It's going to get down to 40. Oh, my gosh. So anyway, Dr. Jones and Christy, you guys, thank you so much for being a part of Horses in the Morning as usual, and we will talk to you again in the new year. So Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
Thanks for having us.
All right,
Happy New Year, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that was a good session with the horse again this week, and this half hour is sponsored by FeedXL. You know, one of the things we have to worry about when with the horse's health is what we feed them, and you're never quite sure whether you're feeding them correctly or not. And one of the ways you can find out if you are is by going to feedxl.com. It only takes a couple minutes for you to put in the information about your horse, and it only takes you for a couple of minutes to put in the information about your horse and about what you feed your horse, and you can do that all at FeedXL, and they'll print out a report for you that shows what you're feeding is correct, if you're feeding too much of one thing, not enough of this other vitamin, or too much supplement. You can find all of that out at feedxl.com. It's very simple, it's very easy to do, and it only takes a couple of minutes for you to have the peace of mind that you're feeding your horses correctly at feedxl.com. Well, that was fun, and it's always fun to hear about the crazy vet calls, and it probably brings you back to the old days, doesn't it, Jamie?
Yeah, the old days being like, you know, a day before I started at the Horse Radio Network, which was in November. So, yeah, it definitely does. There are some crazy horses and crazy owners, and, you know, you just got to embrace them all and take it for what it is. But, man, people, yeah. That's why I think these horses getting stuck in people's pools irritates me so much, because there's just, like, no reason for it, you know. Just prevention, people, prevention.
Well, I think that's going to about wrap it up. Why don't we call it a day here a little bit early today, and we'll be back. You'll be back tomorrow with Alina for the Hottest Horse Husband episode. And I noticed on Facebook and around Twitter, it's being announced all over the place. So I think you're going to have a pretty good audience. I won't be on the air tomorrow, but I will be on Facebook. I'll be doing all the announcements on Facebook as you guys put out the winners, and I'll be chatting with the peoples over there. So if you want to join me on Facebook and do that, just go to Horses in the Morning. And I think Karen Heiser, whose husband was nominated and actually called in today, she thinks that I should be disqualified because it's my program.
And I told her that Jen didn't even nominate you. Your wife did not even nominate you. I think you paid Kentucky Performance Products to do it. It's a conspiracy. That's what I think. The whole thing is a conspiracy.
And she wrote also, Karen, thank you very much for commenting over there, Karen, on Facebook. She wrote, what a great show. Tears and laughter, better than a chick flick. So there. And I'm responsible for the tears, and Jamie's responsible for the laughter. So,
yeah, thanks for that.
Jamie, this has been a blast. Can you believe 2 months is up already since we started this show?
And it's amazing, and I'm just so, so proud to be a part of it. And if I can, because you got to say what you did this year, I know we've gone over it, but, you know, it's just been the most amazing year for me, and I really want to thank the Horse Radio Network for making me a part of their family. You know, it's like married and then dream job and dream farm and everything happening at the same time for me. And I just I want everybody to know that I'm very thankful every single day. And thanks to you and Jennifer for making me a part of the family.
You're welcome. We've had fun having you here. It's been a blast. And we're going to do it some more. You know, tomorrow you're going to be on. And then next week we'll be starting a new year all over again. And we'll be here doing our thing every day.
And the 2010 Hottest Horsemen of the Year Awards are broadcasting live from your computer tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern.
And, of course, you can listen to all our shows. We have many of them at thehorseradionetwork.com. Thank you to all the hosts who put on the shows and worked so hard this year to get all the shows out. I appreciate it. You know, we take pride in the fact that we're a podcast. We're not on mainstream radio. But yet we still don't miss a week. We put out a show every single week on every one of these different shows that we do. We get episodes out every week. We're very proud of that. So, and they work very hard at it. So thank you to all the hosts, past and present, here on the Horse Radio Network. You can also follow us on Facebook. As we said, just search for Horses in the Morning. Become a fan, and we'll be making the announcements over there along with Janie and Helena tomorrow morning. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio.
Absolutely. So, girls, get a cup of coffee, sit down at the computer, because we'll be posting pictures of the hottest horsemen of 2010 and letting you know who the official winners are. And maybe, just maybe, we'll have a couple of those guys on the air with us. So talk to you tomorrow. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Merry, happy New Year, everybody. Goodbye, everybody. Have a safe ride, and we'll see you next year.